Okay, you use the square roots, right? And the hypotenuse? Because you don't know who the seventh seed is without the hypotenuse, or at least a cosine. Cosine, right? Sorry, we're just kind of looking over the formula used for the Virginia High School League football standings. If you're ever bored and you want to spend 6 hours one night doing something mathematically related, work them for yourself. It's a ton of fun. once this weekend comes, it'll all be finally figured out. They will release the final numbers. And let me quickly, as we welcome you into Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network, Rob Witham along with you here on a Wednesday edition of the podcast, as there was just no way we could get all the numbers crunched on Tuesday night and get a podcast out covering regional field hockey action on Tuesday over in Chesterfield. And we're going to talk about the other sports first and then get to the postseason. This podcast is going to work a little bit different than others because, of course, we're right at crunch time now for regular season football. But it took us several hours, both Tuesday afternoon before field hockey and then Tuesday night after field hockey, to finally go through. And we were able to get through 6A South, 5A North, 5A South, and 4A East. We have approximations for 3A East and 2A East. I frankly ran out of steam, and a man's got to sleep at some point. And as we record this podcast during lunch hour here on Wednesday afternoon, ahead of us this afternoon and evening, of course, I got to run down to NBC 12 and have my weekly conversation with sports director Mark Davis, who, of course, will join us via the magic of the digital recorder on the On the Sidelines pregame show powered by Sheehy Ford of Ashland when the 57th Tomato Bowl comes on, our game of the week this week, wrap up the regular season. Of course, that's heard on WHAN 102.9 FM, 1430 AM. And if you are south of the river, if you're outside of the Richmond area, can't pick up WHAN, you can listen to the Tomato Bowl, Patrick Henry, Lee Davis. On any of our family of websites, the links available at rbasportsnetwork.com, HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, ChesterfieldCountySports.net. Very simple for our game of the week. We'll say this briefly, and we'll talk more about it when we go through the VHSL standings. Is Patrick Henry must win in order to have a hope to make the playoffs in 5A North. If they lose, their season is definitely over. For Lee Davis, it's all a matter of seeding. With the loss to Henrico on the game of the week Friday night, they went from fourth to sixth, which meant they go from a home game to an away game in round one next Friday, the 13th. And now they got to hope that they can win, that Hanover knocks off Henrico, and maybe if Hermitage knocks off Douglas Freeman. But we'll get into more of that shortly. But that's our game of the week. Hope you'll join us for that. And inside the game of the week, we will spend the entire night giving you all the scores, all the updates that you need to know, all the playoff implications for all the teams in the 804. Excuse me. We're going to have a master list of games with us that we have to keep an eye on. We're going to have a checklist for every team to see when they get a two-pointer, when the team they beat wins, when they get 1 point for a team that they lost to wins, when they get shut out because they beat a team and that team loses. Those are all critical elements as to what your seed is and for some teams, whether or not you even make the postseason. And, of course, the RBA Sports Network scoreboard show Friday night after the Tomato Bowl will be expanded to give you complete coverage of who's in and who's out. And our Central Region Now podcast late on Friday night will probably not dump until sometime in the 1 a.m. hour, simply because when we get back home, from the game of the week, we're going to want to take some time to number crunch and double check our numbers before we start releasing projections as to what we think the first round playoff matchups are going to be. So having all that housekeeping work taken care of, first, a quick talk about some of the other sports that are going on. Cross country, regional action. I believe some regional action began as early as yesterday. There are some here today on this Wednesday, and a lot of schools here in the Metro Richmond area have theirs coming up tomorrow on Thursday. I know 5A North is in action up in Albemarle. A very good performance for Hanover County teams in that one, as in Conference 16 last week. Grant Davis won the individual boys championship. Connor Moses of Atlee was 12 seconds behind him in second. The Atlee boys and girls team both qualified. So did the Patrick Henry boys team. So they're all up there at 5A North on Thursday. 5A South going to have some great competition, not just individually from Conference 11, but team-wise. LC Byrd in Conference 12, some great performances last Thursday in their conference meet, so they could be heard from. Glenn Allen could be heard from. Coach Jen Ennis coming over from Hanover. She was at Hanover for a few years, was at Glenn Allen assisting last year, and then when Tom Nadeau was named the new activities director at Godwin, she moved up to head coach, and she's really got that program rolling, taking it from Tom and trying to move it up to the next level, and so far, so good. Looking forward to good things from the Jaguars as we get into indoor track season here coming up in the next few weeks. So lots of cross country coming up. Competition cheer, state championships are Saturday down at the Siegel Center. Should be a great time, and should be several teams from our area with legitimate chances to place or even win a state title. So good luck to all the teams that will be at the Siegel Center this Saturday. And then 2 weeks from now, Siegel Center, of course, the site of the state volleyball championships. We're in conference volleyball tournament play as we speak. Conference 3, the first conference in our area to make it to the championship round, as they had their semifinals on Tuesday night. And so we wish the best of luck to the teams that have made it there to the conference championship. News about that in terms of 6A South and Conference 3 in the boys volleyball bracket. There is no 6A South regional tournament this year. So the Conference 3 tournament champion, which will be determined on Thursday night, the winner is going to earn a berth in the 6A state semifinals on November 17th, which is a Tuesday night. The loser of the Conference 3 final will be in the 6A state quarterfinal, and that matchup will take place on Wednesday the 11th, this coming week. So the good news is, you win, you are automatically in the state semifinals. The bad news is there's a 12-day layoff between your conference championship and that next match. So you got to keep sharp in practice for the better part of 2 weeks before we finally see live action again. But winner of Conference 3 is only two wins away from hoisting the state championship. The runner-up will have to do three. So again, that's in boys only. Girls volleyball, 6A South region is set, ready to go. Full-born as usual, as always. Now, other conferences. Conference 11. The boys semifinals were Monday night, so the championship match is set. It's 1-2, Deep Run and Mills Godwin. That will take place as the second part of a doubleheader at Hermitage on Thursday night. The women's semifinals are tonight, Wednesday night. Lee Davis gets top seed Mills Godwin. Douglas Freeman gets number 2 seed Deep Run. Winners not only clinch regional berths in 5A South, but they go to the conference championship Thursday, which will start at 5:45. Conference 12, they've got their semifinals in both tournaments coming up tonight, including a unique situation where Atlee and Patrick Henry are going to play each other in Prince George County. Not as bad as Atlee and PH play in a state softball semifinal in Fairfax County, but tough enough as it is that I'm sure some of the people in Hanover who would like to see this match won't get to. And also because it's the early match at 5:45 in the afternoon. So, oh boy, just, you know, another one of the logistical issues that we have here with our current format of conferences and regions, etc. Poor Patrick Henry, Roanoke. Man, we'll talk about them in a second. In the other side, Conference 12 girls semifinals are on this Wednesday evening as well. Conference 16, there's only a girls tournament. And we just mentioned PH Roanoke. They had to hit the bus for 3 hours to come to Ashland and beat Patrick Henry of Ashland Monday night. As I speak, they're probably getting ready to hit the bus in Roanoke and make the 3-hour trip back here to go to Atlee to take on the top-seeded Raiders. And that match is a 6 p.m. start tonight. And currently, our Taylor Luck at Taylor RVASN on Twitter is scheduled to be there for live coverage of that event. Over in conference, and by the way, Conference 16 winners will play at the higher seed on Thursday for the championship. So if Atlee wins tonight, they'll host it on Thursday because they are the number one seed. Conference 20, semifinals are tonight. In boys, Hanover has to go over to Monacan. Maggie Walker and Midlothian will tangle in Midlothian. Winners will play each other at the higher seed on Thursday night. Midlothian's the top seed in the tourney. On the girls' side, Hanover gets Monacan tonight at their place. Hanover, the top seed. The 2-3 game is Powhatan hosting Midlothian. Winners play each other at the higher seed tomorrow evening. And if it ends up being Hanover-Powhatan for the championship, we will likely be there for live tweet coverage both on Hanover Sports and on the RBA Sportsnet. So that's kind of a look at volleyball. Colonial Heights girls were eliminated in the Conference 25 tournament, unfortunately. Colonial Heights boys are waiting for the 4A East sectionals to begin. Now let's take a look at field hockey. Some good action last night over at River City Sportsplex. We were there for that. Midlothian fought hard. We're even Steven at the half with Great Bridge in the 1A to 4A East Region semifinal. But Great Bridge got on the board not relatively early. It was heading towards the middle part of the second half. And then they added an insurance goal with about 7, 8, 9 minutes to play. And Midlothian at that point, it was just a matter of watching Great Bridge run out the clock. 2-0 the final, and unfortunately Midlothian's hopes for a state tournament bid fall one win short. But a great season, a fantastic season for the Trojans. And then a rather unique game across the way at the 5A South semis, where deep runs scored within the first 30 seconds of the match to quickly take a 1-0 lead. Some fans were still trying to get a seat when that goal was scored. And then they proceeded, once they got that seat, to watch the rest of the match go scoreless. Lots of opportunities for both teams. Frankly, Prince George outplayed Deep Run in the second half, in my humble opinion. They had not one but two opportunities with back-to-back-to-back corners within about a 5 or 6 minute stretch midway through the second half, but they just were not able to find the open hole and get the ball into the box. And Deep Run held on. Big sigh of relief for the Wildcats, and they win 1-0 on the strength of that first-minute goal. And Deep Run clinches a berth in the 5A state tournament. They got to play Gloucester for the 5A South Region title on Thursday. I do believe that match will be at River City, so Deep Run only has to travel across the river. Gloucester's got to come up. But Deep Run got to have a better performance, especially second half against Gloucester. They're unbeaten. They defeated Atlee in an early regular season meeting. I believe it was 6-0, and it wasn't even close. And so they're a powerhouse in field hockey. That will be on Thursday. Cosby gets their shot tonight at a region berth, or should say a state berth, as they will take on Frank W. Cox. And speaking of powerhouses in the 757, they're about as powerhouse as they come. This is going to be a tall task for the Titans and head coach Rachel Mead, but it's their chance. They can pull off the win. They'll be in that state tournament next weekend. And by the way, the 4A, 5A, and 6A state tournaments semifinals are played on Friday the 13th. Championships Saturday the 14th, all at the National Training Center in Virginia Beach. All right, let's get to football, shall we, friends? Here we go. We'll start off by saying, if you want to get the latest NBC 12 RVA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll, it was released Monday night on NBC 12 News at 11. It is on NBC 12 News' sports page. Just click on High School Sports under Sports, and you can get the latest poll. You can also get it, of course, at our website at rvasportsnetwork.com. But our focus on this edition of Central Region Now is not about that. It is about playoffs, and most specifically, running the numbers and where teams stand and what they have to do and what they can do and what they can't do with one final game to go. We're going to start with some of the lower classifications because we're going to dig deeper into some of the higher ones, and certainly the big one we'll be talking about in just a moment is 5A South. But we're going to kick things off in 3A East. We look at, first of all, there's two 8-team subregions. Conferences 25 and 27 are put together, 26 and 28. Are put together. In 25-27, the only local team involved is Colonial Heights, and they've been sitting in fifth position for the last few weeks. Now, they play Petersburg this Friday night, so it should be a competitive game, should be a shot for them to get a victory. By the same token, Petersburg is coming in fighting for their life in the other subregion pod in 3A East, so they're not going to come in laying down like their season's over. They have probably more to play for than Colonial Heights. Colonial Heights is not a shoe-in for postseason play, but they're very, 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 very close. A win, no problem. A loss and a little bit of help will take care of business. For example, the team right below them, Lakeland, rated 6, they got to play Nansman River. Nansman River is the 5A team with a winning record and having a good season, and they're fighting for position right now for the postseason too. So, you know, for example, the chances of Lakeland winning are not strong. So Colonial Heights kind of hoping and rooting for Nansman River to get the job done there. That eliminates one possible threat, even if Colonial Heights does lose to Petersburg. So so that's the 3A East 25-27 situation. In 26-28, Hopewell, wow, what a great two-week stretch for the Blue Devils. They have put themselves in a position to where they are almost assured of the number one seed in this sub-region. And because of being the number one seed, they will get at least two home games at Myrner Field to start the postseason. And then after the regional semifinals, they are going to cross bracket. So in other words, whoever the top two surviving seeds are out of conferences 26 and 28, the top one would play the lower seed out of 25 and 27 and vice versa. But within that 18 pod, Hopewell's number one seed, they get two home games at Myrner Field to propel them into Thanksgiving weekend, which would be basically a state quarterfinal game. You got to win 5 to hoist the trophy wherever you may go, Charlottesville, or in the case of Hopewell, of course, they would play at Liberty University in Lynchburg. Now, they got Prince George this week, and it's on the road. And Prince George will be playing for pride. They are out of the playoff picture in 5A South, and they'd love nothing better than to put a fly in the ointment of their arch rivals, the Blue Devils. But Hopewell's playing some fantastic football right now. And if they keep that up, they will have the one seed there in that pod. James Monroe would be number 2, and then it'll be kind of a dogfight between Skyline, Culpeper, and Brentsville to see who gets the 3-4 home games and who may have to travel. Part of that will be determined, basically, as Culpeper and Brentsville play each other, and they're the 4 versus the 5. It's at the 4 seed Culpeper. And so if Culpeper wins that game, there's a good possibility that those two may have to play each other again the following week on the exact same field in that 4-5 first-round matchup, with the winner to get Hopewell if Hopewell wins their first-round game. Right now, Armstrong's the 8 seed, and they've got Atlee this week. That's tall order. John Marshall just behind them in 9th. TJ just behind John Marshall in 10th. But they need wins and help. They need Atlee to knock off Armstrong. They need to beat Mills Godwin in the case of the Justices. They need to beat Deep Run in the case of TJ. And TJ needs Mills Godwin to beat John Marshall. And then we run the numbers and find out. But Petersburg, the 6th seed, even with a loss, they may drop. But they haven't clinched it yet, but it's close. The only team, I should say, in 3A East in our area that knows what's happening is Hopewell. They know they're going to be a top seed or a number 2 seed. And with a win at Prince George on Friday night, they are the number 1 seed in the 18 pod between conferences 26 and 28. And fending off James Monroe was big. That was very, very big. So now to 5A North. Hanover County fans, listen very, very carefully. Coming into this week, Atlee moved up from 13th to 10th in the standings. Patrick Henry, with their loss to Highland Springs, remained in 18th place. Let us run the numbers and give you, first of all, what Atlee has to do. Atlee has 237 points entering Friday night's game at Armstrong. The most they can get by beating Armstrong would be 28 points. You get 20 for beating a team in 3A. You get 4 points for the 2 wins Armstrong has, and then you get 4 extra points because you're playing a district team 2 classifications below you, 5A versus 3A. So that's 28 points for winning. The most points Atlee can pick up on Friday night is 39. The 11 bonus rider points would come from Deep Run beating TJ, Godwin beating John Marshall, Hanover beating Henrico, Patrick Henry beating Lee Davis, and Verina upsetting Highland Springs. And they also need Douglas Freeman to upset Hermitage. If all of that happened, they could score as many as 39 points. So the highest point total that Atlee could get if all the world fell into place was 276 points. Now you look ahead of them in 9th, Potomac Falls, their high-low is highest possible 281, lowest possible 260, so they can be caught. Wakefield, highest possible 285, lowest 264. They could be caught, but of course they have to lose. And they are playing Robert E. Lee's Stanton this week. Potomac Falls is playing Thomas Edison. Both of those teams are only three-win teams, so Wakefield and Potomac Falls will be favored. North Stafford ahead of them. They start at 245 points. They've got Mountain View this week. Mountain View currently in a tie for fifth in the region at 7-2. So huge points for North Stafford if they win that game. And the lowest possible point total they can go to is 270. So the world has to fall completely into place for Atlee to end up as high as seventh. Atlee has, at best, an outside chance at the eighth seed. They would have to win, and then there'd have to be some upsets along the way. They'd need Edison to upset Potomac Falls and Robert E. Lee Stanton to upset Wakefield. Now, if Wakefield Potomac Falls gets their win, their highest total points plus the bonus points that they might get would be better than Atlee. So in a best-case scenario for all teams, Atlee would remain in 10th place. And if the postseason started today, the 7th seed is North Stafford. And they get Mountain View this week. And if North Stafford beats Mountain View, they enter the week 14 points behind both Mountain View and Stonebridge, who are in a tie for 5th place. You know, North Stafford could leap up over one or the other. Certainly they would come close to getting ahead of Mountain View. Possibly knocking Mountain View down to 7th, and a Mountain View-Atlee first-round game would be incredible because Mountain View went off to a rocketed start this season. They've struggled a little bit in the second half of the season as their schedule has gotten more difficult. Their only two losses, though, to Brook Point and Massaponics, and, of course, they are two of the top three teams in the 5A North region. Massaponics number one, Tuscarora number two, and Brook Point number three, and Brook Point and Massaponics play each other on Friday night. So Atlee is still in a realistic scenario looking at a road trip in round one, but we do want to let you know that if some things fall into place, there is a possibility the Raiders could grab maybe as high as an 8 seed, and with that, a first-round home game. But I wouldn't print tickets yet. I wouldn't collapse the skybox for the season, but I also wouldn't start calling boosters to get the concession stand ready either. There's a lot of things that have to happen for Atlee on Friday night for that to happen. The much more important news for the Raiders is that the win over Patrick Henry and then the win last week over Verina got them basically into the postseason. Now, what if they lose to Armstrong? Their lowest point total could be 255 points, and that could only happen if they lose to Armstrong, TJ beats Deep Run, John Marshall beats Mills Godwin, Henrico beats Hanover, Lee Davis beats Patrick Henry, Highland Springs beats Verina, and Hermitage beats Douglas Freeman. Then they're only going to score 18 points, not 39. So first things first, get the job done in Armstrong. And then you worry about it after that. With that win, they're in. It's just a matter of where. Right behind them, trying to overtake Atlee in case the Raiders slip, you've got Albemarle 4 points behind in 11th. 2 points behind them in 12th is Orange, and 2 points behind them in 13th is Briar Woods. Now, Orange plays a winless Fluvanna team this week, but Briar Woods gets Stonebridge, and they're a 5-4 team. Albemarle's the team that Atlee needs to worry about because they're playing an 8-1 Western Albemarle team out of 3A. So if they win, they get 20 points for the win, and then they get 16 points for the 8 wins. 2 points times 8 is 16. Then they're going to get 4 more points for playing a district team 2 classifications below them. So Albemarle could pick up as many as 40 points just for winning. And if they do that, they catapult ahead of Atlee. So it's possible that Atlee could win and drop to 11th and see a change in terms of who their first-round opponent might be. So that's where the Raiders stand. Patrick Henry coming in 18th, got to get to 16th. And we broke it down yesterday afternoon in detail, and this is basically what has to happen. Number one, Patrick Henry has to win. They have to win the Tomato Bowl. If they lose the Tomato Bowl, their season is over. There is no way to lose that game and slip into the playoffs. That cannot happen. They've got to get past 17th-rated Potomac. Potomac plays a one-win Stafford team on Friday night, but there is some good news here. If Potomac wins, they only get 26 points for beating Stafford, and then based on the rider points they can get from opponents' wins, the highest total they can get is 34, so they could end the night no higher than 234 points. Patrick Henry, on the other hand, if they win, They get 38 points for beating Lee Davis, 24 for beating a 5A school, 14 points because it's a 7-win team, 2 points per win. That's 38. That puts them at 235 points. The 200, let's check that again. So it's at 38. See, I told you I've been doing too much math the last 24 hours. It does put them at 235 points. Excuse me. So they get that. That would put them ahead of Potomac into 17th. But, of course, that's not good enough. That's 17th. You got to get to 16. Who's at 16? Halifax County. And their season is done. They finished 5-5 with 231 points. But they can get as many as 8 rider points this week, depending upon the results of games with teams that were on their schedule. So let's say Halifax gets all 8 of those points. Patrick County beats Martinsville. Let's say Person, North Carolina beats Hillside. Let's say that Tunstall gets the win over Bassett. Let's say even and Franklin County doesn't matter because Franklin County has to buy their seasons over too. So you've got Martinsville. So they're going to get up to 8 points because if EC Glass beat Rustburg, they'd get 1 point for a non-defeated team winning. If Magna Vista, well, they will get 1 point between Magna Vista and George Washington because they lost to both teams and they play each other. So there's another point. So there's your 8. That gets them to 239. So the highest total Halifax can finish up with is 239 points, which in the ratings game is 23.9 because you divide them by your games played, which is 10. Patrick Henry would be 5 points away from overtaking them for 16th place, but they need 5 rider points, which means they're going to get 1 point from Highland Springs Verina. So there's 236. They're going to get 1 point from Henrico Hanover. They lost to both teams. The winner gets them a point. They're at 237. If Atlee beats Armstrong, there's a point, 238. But if Armstrong upsets Atlee, that's 2 points because PH beat Armstrong. That would put them at 239. Then it comes up to this. Either Glen Allen has to beat Tucker, Caroline has to beat Cortland, and both those teams, Glen Allen and Caroline, will be sharp underdogs. Here's the big one. Mills Godwin needs to beat John Marshall. So Patrick Henry fans, here's the bottom line. If you win the Tomato Bowl, you'll overtake Potomac. You'll get 2 points, 1 each from the Highland Springs Verina winner and the Henrico Hanover winner. You're at 237. You need 3 points for 16th place. If Atlee beats Armstrong, you get 1, not 2. So that puts you at 238. So you need either Godwin to beat John Marshall, Caroline to beat Cortland, or Glen Allen to beat J.R. Tucker. And the best hope comes with the Eagles of Mills Godwin. If you get that, Mills Godwin beats John Marshall, you're at 240 and you're in. So there is your formula from what we can project. You must win the Tomato Bowl. You must get 1 point at least from Atlee beating Armstrong. You will get a point apiece from the Henrico Hanover and Highland Springs Verina games, and you need Godwin to beat John Marshall. If John Marshall upsets Godwin, then you need Caroline to get the big upset over Cortland, or you need Glen Allen to knock off J.R. Tucker. If neither of those things happen, then you will fall 1 point short of the postseason. Whew. That's how close it is. But you think that's close. We haven't even gotten started yet. Welcome to 5A South Central. This is the one that most everybody's like, okay, let's get to this one. What about Bird? What about Highland Springs? Why is Highland Springs rated ahead of them? What do you mean Hermitage could still end up with the one seed? Yada, yada, yada. Okay, here we go. Let's break it down. And we'll break it down by teams. First of all, the number one seed at this moment is Highland Springs. They are at 8-1 on the season. They have 299 points. They come into the Friday night's game with Verina. They win. They get 32 points, 24 for beating a 5A school, and 8 points, 2 apiece, for each of Verina's 4 wins. The rider points that they can get from the schedule. They'll get 2 from the winner of Atlee and Armstrong. They'll get 2 from the winner of Hanover Henrico. And they'll get 2 from the winner of Patrick Henry and Lee Davis. All of that we know. No doubt about it, they'll get 2, 4, 6 out of the Capital District games. So now that's 38 points. Meadowbrook and Dinwiddie, that game is a wash. And the reason why I say that is because Meadowbrook, if you'll remember, they started the season playing Bird, Hermitage, Highland Springs. They lost to all of them. So if Meadowbrook wins over Dinwiddie, all 3 teams in this horse race get 2 points. If Meadowbrook loses, all 3 teams get nothing. So Meadowbrook really is a wash in all of this. biggest thing that Highland Springs can't get this Friday is that Norview's season is done, and they only played 9 games. But hold on, there's more to that. So the most points Highland Springs can get this week is 32 for the win. And then if they get 2, 4, 6 out of the Capital District, they get the 8 from Meadowbrook. Then that puts them at 40 points. And if Hermitage beats Douglas Freeman, there you go. You have 41. You get 1 point for each non-defeated opponent victory. So the highest that Highland Springs can finish is 340. Now, if they lose to Highland to Verina, all bets are off. The top seed's gone. Second seed's gone. They, at that point, look like they would be in the third seed. In fact, I can tell you by our calculations that they could finish no lower than the third seed, because fourth-seeded Douglas Freeman, their maximum point potential is a point shy of Highland Springs. So the worst Highland Springs will be going into the postseason is the number 3 seed, but they have to lose to Verina for that to happen. They could still beat Verina and have it happen depending upon the results of LC Bird, Hermitage, and then other games off of their schedules. We'll get to them in a second. So maximum for Highland Springs is 340, minimum is 322. Just to let you know, Douglas Freeman, if they beat Hermitage and get all their rider points, their maximum this week is 54. That would put them, at 321 points. So they would fall a point short of Highland Springs. They cannot catch Highland Springs. Now, if Douglas Freeman beat Hermitage, it could put them in a situation to where they might be able to nip Hermitage for third, and Highland Springs would move to second. Because here's Hermitage's situation. They're at 288 points. Now, they beat Douglas Freeman. They get 42 points. And they're in really good shape because they could also get 2 points. They will get 2 points for the Highland Springs Verina win. They could get 2. In fact, they will get 2 for Godwin and John Marshall. James Madison, where'd that come from? From John Marshall. They will get 2 from Glenn Allen and Tucker. So there are 8 guaranteed rider points there. Here's what Hermitage has to have happen. Deep Run's got to beat TJ, because you'll recall Hermitage doesn't play TJ anymore. TJ upsets Deep Run, Hermitage loses 2 crucial points. Manchester's got to beat Cosby. Now, for LC Bird, they're going to get 2 points out of that game no matter what. But if Cosby beats Manchester, Bird gets 2 points, Hermitage doesn't. So Hermitage, big fans of the Lancers on Friday night. They need those 2 points, even though they'll wash out with LC Bird. They help them in the race with Highland Springs. And, of course, 2 points if Meadowbrook wins, but all 3 teams get that. Hermitage's top flight number is 54 points with a win and everything going their way. That would put them at 342, and that would be 2 points higher than the highest point total that Highland Springs could get and 2 points higher than the highest total that LC Bird could get. Now, Hermitage could go as low as 316 if they lose to Douglas Freeman and some things happen like Cosby beats Manchester, TJ upsets Deep Run, and Dinwiddie beats Meadowbrook. And then suddenly, Douglas Freeman is knocking on the door for third if they are able to get things in their situation. For example, they got to have Midlothian and Clover Hill. They need Midlothian to win. Ugh. James River Bird, they need James River. Ugh. Atlee Armstrong, they need Atlee. That looks good. They'll get 2 from Glenn Allen Tucker, 2 from TJ Deep Run, 2 from J.M. Godwin. So it looks like they're going to get at least 8 out of those rider points, which will give them 50 at 317. And if everything works the wrong way for Hermitage, they could be at 316. So Douglas Freeman with a win, possible that if everything broke their way, they might be able to get to the 3 seed and make Hermitage the 4. What about Bird, the 3-time defending state champions? Well, they have 296 points coming into Friday night's game against James River, a 4-win team in 6A. So if you win, you get 26 points for beating a 6A school, and you give 8 points, 2 times 4 for their 4 wins. So that's 34. Not a lot of rider points, though, for LC Bird this week. They'll get 2 from the Midlo-Clover Hill game, 2 from the Cosby-Manchester game. But again, they're rooting for Cosby because a Manchester loss and Hermitage loses 2 possible points. They'll get 2 points from With Huguenot. And if Meadowbrook wins, they'll get 2 points, but again, that's all a wash. Monacan season is done. They can't get anything out of Monacan. Here's the big one for LC Bird. Bird fans have got to root for Thomas Dale. Thomas Dale plays Metoica, and they need Thomas Dale to win. If Metoica wins that game, two crucial points for LC Bird goes by the boards. If they get all the points that they can, and that includes that Dale win over Metoica, they finish with 44 points, and that puts them at 340. So if everybody maximizes their efforts, Hermitage would have 342, Highland Springs and LC Bird would have 340, and then you'd have to go into a tiebreaker to determine who the 2 seed was and who the 3 seed was, and that tiebreaker would ostensibly determine who would host round 2 between the 2 teams if they win in round 1. Hermitage would be sitting pretty as the number 1 seed, and for the second year in a row, you'd have to go through Chester Fritz to make it into the States. Now, Bird did that last year. What Bird wants to see happen is this. They need Thomas Dale to beat Metoica. They need Cosby to beat Manchester. And then we're in a situation to where we could have a 3-way tie. Then, if TJ upset Deep Run, Hermitage falls out of the 3-way tie. Now, for Highland Springs, they're in a good situation at 340, but if Douglas Freeman knocks off Hermitage, they're at 339, Bird maximizes their points, they're the 1 seed. But the big things you got to watch out for on Friday night, and we'll be watching these games for you while we're live on the Game of the Week and on Twitter as well, is Thomas Dale must beat Metoica for LC Bird to stay in the race for number 1, and they want Cosby to knock off Manchester, which would hurt Hermitage. Those are the things that need to happen. But we still could end up with a 3-way tie at 340 points when all is said and done. Let's say everything goes to form except, you know, Manchester beats Cosby. But let's say TJ upsets Deep Run and Hermitage ends up at 340 along with Bird and Highland Springs. Then you got to go through the Virginia High School League tiebreakers. And I promise you that by the time we get to Friday night, I will have studied that, and we will be able to give you an idea of how that would roll. But there's more of 5A South Central than just those 3 teams. We talked about Freeman and how if they could knock off Hermitage, they would get a home game in round 1. Of that, there is no doubt. And it's possible that they could overtake Hermitage for 3rd, drop Hermitage to 4th, put Highland Springs or Bird in the 1-2 position interchangeably. But by the same token, if Hermitage beats Douglas Freeman and Henrico, who starts the week 9 points behind in 5th place, beats Hanover, Douglas Freeman would only get 21 points for their loss. Henrico would get 36 points for their win. And suddenly Henrico could jump Douglas Freeman for that 4 seat, depending upon other results as well. And some of those other results are games that are similar to each other, like Henrico and Douglas Freeman, even though they're in different districts, they both need help from the TJ Deep Run game. They both need help from Glenn Allen and Tucker. They both need help from the Atlee and Armstrong game. And you'll recall, for Atlee, that's a wash in the sense that if they beat Armstrong, well, Douglas Freeman gets 2 points and Henrico gets 2 points. But if Armstrong upset Atlee, then Freeman gets nothing and Henrico still gets 2 points. So it's still possible for Henrico to get the job done. Now, what if Henrico loses to Hanover and Lee Davis wins the Tomato Bowl? They start the night 10 points behind Douglas Freeman, 1 point behind Henrico. Now, they'll only get 32 points for beating Patrick Henry, but that would be enough to overtake Douglas Freeman temporarily. But then it's all about the rider points, and Douglas Freeman has a lot more rider points to pick up than Lee Davis does. Lee Davis can only pick up to 10 rider points, where Douglas Freeman can pick up to 12. Highest score that Lee Davis can have is 299. The lowest score Douglas Freeman can have is 295. So could Lee Davis still end up with a 4th place finish in a first-round home game? It is not out of the realm of possibility, but it is going to be very, 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 very hard. And Hanover has to beat Henrico for that to happen. And Hermitage has to beat Douglas Freeman. Lee Davis has to win the Tomato Bowl, and then some other things have to happen. Verina Highland Springs, a wash for Henrico and Lee Davis. So is the Atlee Armstrong game. That's a wash. Freeman, on the other hand, they got to have teams like James River beat Bird and Midlothian beat Clover Hill. And those two things, they're going to be underdogs, those two teams, Midlothian and James River, going into those 2 matches. So if you eliminate those two, out of the situation, and then it makes it a much closer race. Now, you drop 11 points back to 7th for Matoaka. If Lee Davis loses the Tomato Bowl and Matoaka beats Thomas Dale, then very good chance that Matoaka could go to the 6th seed, Lee Davis could drop to the 7th seed. And then Meadowbrook's got Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie's highest point potential is 288. That's the lowest of the group. But they could still catch Matoaka if Thomas Dale beats them and Meadowbrook beats Dinwiddie. They would certainly take the 7th seed. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that if Lee Davis loses the Tomato Bowl, Meadowbrook could actually get the 6th seed, dropping Lee Davis and Matoaka. Now, for Verina, Verina needs an absolute miracle. And this is what we mean. By our calculations, the most points Verina can get in terms of, and that was my phone, I apologize for that, the most points Verina can get on Friday night is 50 points. That would be 40 for beating Highland Springs. Then they'd need Norcom to knock off Lake Taylor. Lake Taylor's the top seed in all the 4A East, and Norcom, I believe, has one win this year. They have to have PH beat Lee Davis. They have to have Armstrong beat Lee Atlee. So, in other words, it's really a stretch. And then, at best, if all the stars align, Verina would tie Meadowbrook at 267 points. But Verina's postseason chances are very, very, very remote. All right, quickly, we want to get to 4A East because we've got Monacan, Hanover, Dinwiddie, Louisa, Powhatan involved. Number one seed is Cortland. They entered the night Friday at 264 points in first place with a game to play, and that's against winless Caroline. Does not do them any favors to beat a winless team because they'll get 22 points for beating a fellow 4A team and then no bonus points because Caroline would have finished 0-10. Then they're going to need things like they'll get two out of a win in the Chancellor-Spotsylvania game because they beat both teams. They'll get 2 points if Louisa beats Charlottesville. They'll get 2 points out of the Fauquier-Liberty-Bealton game. They need James Monroe to beat King George. 2 points there. If King George wins, they only get 1 point. And they need Massaponics to get to a beat Brook Point because Massaponics, they lost to them, so that would be 1 point. So the highest Cortland could get would be 31 points, and they could finish at 295. Now, that's important because Monacan's season is over. They are in second at 279 points. They can only pick up rider points on Friday night. They can get two if Caroline gets the big upset of Cortland, and that's not likely. They can get two if Glenn Allen can somehow beat J.R. Tucker. Glenn Allen will definitely be the underdog. They'll get two out of the Cosby-Manchester game, they'll get two out of Clover Hill-Midlow, and they'll get two out of George Wythe-Huguenot. So that's 6 points that they know they're going to get. They get 2 points if James River beats L.C. Byrd, 1 point if it's the other way around. So let's say Byrd wins, that would be 7 points. Then at that point, it's a matter of Cortland, Caroline, Glenn Allen, Tucker, It's hard to see at that point, folks. The highest number of points that Monacan can pick up is 291. They can get 12 points on Friday night. The worst they're going to do is 7, and that would be the 3 automatic wins they know they're going to get 2 points out of because they beat both teams. And that's Cosby, Manchester, Clover Hill, Midlow, and Huguenot with. And then if Byrd beats James River, they get 1 point, not 2. So that would be 7. So 286 is their low point. 291 is their high point. If Cortland has everything come to pass, Cortland is ahead of Monacan. Now, we bring Hanover into the mix, and this changes things, because Hanover gets 38 points if they beat Henrico. They start the week at 247 points. Right there, they get 38. Cortland would only get 22. That's a 16-point jump. Hanover suddenly 1 point behind Cortland. Okay? Now, Hanover needs this to happen. They need Dinwiddie to beat Meadowbrook. They need Tucker to beat Glenn Allen. They need Hopewell to beat Prince George. They need PH to win the Tomato Bowl. They need Verina to upset Highland Springs. And they need Armstrong to beat Atlee. Because if they get all that, they would get 50 points total for 297. So Hanover's highest point possibility is 2 points higher than Cortland's. So Hanover has a very, and I do mean very, outside shot at the number one seed. And I say that because they're depending upon some big things to happen. PH, the underdog in the Tomato Bowl. Verina has to knock off Highland Springs. And Armstrong has to knock off Atlee. Now, if those things don't happen, then you cut that point total down one, and down one to 47. And 47 points puts them at 294. And if Cortland maximizes their point total at 295, Hanover's the 2 seed, not the 1 seed. So Cortland has the driver's seat, and they can get things kind of done in order. They have the inside track for the number one seed. Hanover's got a shot at it. Monacan only has a shot at it if Cortland loses to Caroline and Henrico loses to Hanover. If Cortland beats Caroline, then they're guaranteed 2 more points from Chancellor Spotsylvania, and they're guaranteed 2 more points from Fauquier and Liberty Beale, and they're going to get a minimum of 1 from the King George-Prince George game. James from the King George game, excuse me. So, that's 5 points. So that's 27 with a win, 291. That puts them tied with Monacan. And then, you know, Massaponics finishes unbeaten, beating Brook Point. There's your 1 point, and they're over Monacan. Cortland loses to Caroline, and all bets are off. Now, Hanover's got to worry about teams right below them, because only 2 points behind them in a tie for fourth are both Eastern View and Chancellor. Eastern View plays a 3-win Kettle Run team. Chancellor plays a 3-win Spotsylvania team, but they'll get 2 bonus points because if they beat them, Spotsylvania's in 3A. Eastern View can get as many as 37 points this week, Chancellor as many as 39, so their highs are only in the low 280s. Neither one of them can catch Monacan. Monacan will not be caught by either Eastern View or Chancellor, so Monacan at worst will be the number 3 seed. A Hanover loss to Henrico, Monacan at worst will be the number 2 seed. And if Cortland somehow lost to Caroline, Monacan could end up at the 1 seed. But again, Caroline is 0-9. Dinwiddie, they are 14 points behind the two teams tied for 4th. They can get as many as 44 points this week with a win over Meadowbrook and help. They could finish at 275. Now, that is higher than the low points of Hanover, Eastern View, and Chancellor. So, with a win and some help above them, if Spotsylvania beat Chancellor, or maybe Kettle Run knocked off Eastern View, could Dinwiddie move up a spot or two? Yes, they certainly could. Now, Hanover could lose on Friday night and still have enough bonus points to where they would fend off Dinwiddie. So it's that close. 8 points behind them in 7th is Louisa, and then well back is King George in 8. The big question there is, how, you know, is Powhatan even alive for an 8th and final playoff berth? Well, number one, James Monroe has to beat King George. King George starts at 200 points. Powhatan, 9th place out of the postseason right now at 181 points. So James Monroe beats King George, and then certain things happen with King George's common opponents. And the lowest number of points that they score is 21. They'd end up with 221 points. Powhatan, their highest threshold this week is 225, and here's how they got to get there. They got to beat Monticello first. If they do that, then they need Charlottesville to beat Louisa. They need Midlothian to beat Clover Hill, and they need George Wythe winless to beat Huguenot. So that's a lot. The highest they can get is 225 points. So bottom line is Powhatan got a shot. They have an outside shot, a very, 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 very outside shot. And we have not gotten to 6A South yet, so let's do that quickly. Colonial Forge in really good shape right now. The lowest number of points that they can score, 326, so they're a shoe-in for the number one seed. The battle will be below them. Hilton overtook Thomas Dale for second this past week, and with a win over Forest Park, will get a lot of good bonus points because Forest Park is a 6-win team. Now, for that to happen, and then they get some help from, for example, they'll get 2 for the winner of Osborne Park. They get 2 if Patriot beats Battlefield. They'll get 2 if Freedom can upset Colonial Forge. The highest they can get is 46 points, which would put them at 311, still far below Colonial Forge. But it would put them in a situation where Thomas Dale would have to run the table with everybody that they need to win, including James River beating L.C. Byrd. Highest they can do is 312. So the chances of Thomas Dale getting that 2 seed back are only good if Forest Park beats C.D. Hilton. If that happens, then Manchester has Forest Park on their heels because Manchester's 10 points below Thomas Dale in 4th. They've got Cosby, Forest Park behind them by 11 points in 5th. They've got C.D. Hilton. Forest Park can get as many as 49 points this week. Manchester can get as many as 43. That would knock the margin by 6. But if Cosby knocks off Manchester, Manchester will be on the road in round 1. They're in the playoffs, but they would go from a home game to a road game, especially if Forest Park beats C.D. Hilton. Woodbridge just below them. Cosby 6 points below Woodbridge. And here's the deal with Cosby as we close the podcast, and this is an interesting situation. The team that's below Cosby is the 8th seed River Bend, and their season's done. They finished their season. They have a bye this week. They can get as many as 10 rider points, and that would put them from 257 to 267. Now, if Cosby beats Manchester, they get 38 points. They're in business. If Cosby loses to Manchester, then they have 21 points, and that only puts them at 254, and that is below River Bend. Then they're going to need help. Well, they're going to get two from Huguenot Wythe. That's 256. They're going to get two from Midlothian Clover Hill. That's 258. So that puts them above the current River Bend total, but then it's going to be a foot race between how many more rider points that Cosby can get and how many rider points does River Bend get. So River Bend could overtake Cosby for eighth. The only way James River makes the playoffs is if they beat L.C. Byrd. Simple as that. If they beat L.C. Byrd, they could go as high as 267 points. That could be enough to overtake Woodbridge, Cosby, or River Bend. And if River Bend had one thing not happened to them in terms of their other games, and they finished at 266, and James River had everything work in their favor, and they'll get two for Wythe Huguenot, two for Midlothian Clover Hill. They need Douglas Freeman to beat Hermitage. They're going to get 1 point from Manchester Cosby no matter what, and they need Chancellor to beat Spotsylvania for an extra point. So the only way they can get in the playoffs is if they beat Byrd, and even then, they're going to need help. It is not a shoe-in. Okay, so Rapids fans, just wanted to let you know, if you beat Byrd, that does not mean you have necessarily clinched a postseason berth. You could still finish either in a tie for eighth with River Bend and out. That would be the absolute best scenario, unless Cosby or Woodbridge below you completely fall apart and end up below 267 points. And it knocks one of those teams to nine, and it moves James River and River Bend into a tie for seventh. So, L.C. Byrd upset would be titanic, but it does not in and of itself clinch a postseason bid. That's how close everything is, folks, as we get into these last few hours of the regular season. Now, here's what we're going to do at RVA Sports Network. Everything that we talk about are projections and are subject to human error. Okay, we do not have a HAL Computer 2000 that we're throwing everything in and hoping he regurgitates the right numbers out to us. But what we do is we try to break it down and study it as much as possible as we possibly can. We're going to have a checklist and a sheet and a worksheet together with us at the game on Friday night at the Tomato Bowl, adding up the numbers as the final scores come in, and give you our projections as to what the postseason will look like on the Friday night edition or early Saturday morning edition of Central Region Now. So if you're up late after 1 a.m., you can download the podcast when it's ready. If you're not up that late and you go, Rob, can't hang with you that long, I totally understand. All you got to do, first thing in the morning, get up, cup of coffee. I promise you at 8 o'clock Saturday morning, we will put up a link on Twitter to our podcast. But you don't have to wait till 8 o'clock. If you get up at 6 or 7, all you got to do is go to one of our websites. Our podcast is always on our websites, rvasportsnetwork.com, chesterfieldcountysports.net, hanovercountysports.net, henricocountysports.net. Podcasts are always, always, always available on our website. So you do not have to wait for us to tweet out a link. As soon as they are done, they are posted on those websites. And we'll give you our projections. The Virginia High School League official numbers come out Sunday about midday. And, of course, we'll tweet them out as well. But we'll have projections for you on what the first round will look like on Central Region Now. Early Saturday morning. Our game of the week is the 57th Tomato Bowl. Can't wait. It's be the 14th year. WHAN has had Patrick Henry Lee Davis. It'll be my 13th year calling the Tomato Bowl. I missed one due to illness in 2005. 6:30, the On the Sidelines pregame show with Mark Davis of NBC 12, powered by Sheehy Ford of Ashland. Kickoff at 7. Talk to you then, my friends. Until then, follow us on Twitter. Enjoy your Friday night football. Send us updates from your games, and we'll see you on the sideline.